Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Well, it is an honor to be before you for my first time. And it is such a thrill to be able to speak what God has planted in me for today. My sermon today is Heaven, the Ultimate Solution. And I will be coming from 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, Heaven, the Ultimate Solution. So will you please stand with me? Even those of you who are online, please stand with me as we read God's Word together. For God's Word says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly body. Because we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in which we can celebrate your word, your presence, and your precious gift that you provided us through your death, burial, and resurrection. We ask, Lord, that the words that I speak today may be a edification to all the souls that are represented here today, but also, Lord, that it may bring you glory. I pray that you empty me out and fill me with your words. We ask these and all blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, before I start, I want to welcome all of you that are online. You could have been a lot of places, but you chose us, so we're very, very happy that you have joined us online. And at any time, if you want to say an amen or a hallelujah or something like that, just type it in and you will get a response from our hosts that are online. But we hope that you are very, very engaged with us this morning. This is the third week of a sermon series on pain and suffering and how we navigate the challenges of life to be overcomers and how to maintain a victorious outlook in both our present circumstances and in our future endeavors. In the first week, Pastor Mick provided a framework of the evil in the world and examined the six worldviews on suffering. Last week, he spoke on pain and suffering and how it produces redemption. We know that it is because of pain and suffering that leads us to a place where we know that we need to be helped. And because of that, we know that we are forced to look for or to something that is greater than us to help us through, which leads us to this week's topic, which is the ultimate solution. As you look at these scriptures, the sequence of scriptures that we read starts off with a startling fact, hard for us to grapple with. It says, if this earthly tent is destroyed, then we have a building from God that He's built with His hands. This earthly tent in the scriptures is a reference to our human bodies, which is our outer shell, which what surrounds us and hosts is a host for our spirit. Why did Paul choose to use these words to identify our earthly bodies? Well, tent is a reference to something that is temporary, something that is temporal. It is not a permanent structure, but is made of cloth, vinyl, plastic, or some other canvas material. Isaiah 38:12 sums it up this way. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. Thus, I think Isaiah and Paul are trying to let us know how fragile our lives are. And that at some point in our lives, we have to wrestle with the fact that it will end. It is something that we don't like to do, something that we don't like to think about, but nevertheless, it is inevitable. Whereas in the same verse in Corinthians, a building implies a permanent structure, something that is sound, something that is solid. In most cases, it's built with something like wood, bricks, mortar, etc. Well, this has significance to me because prior to becoming a pastor, I worked for 24 plus years as a project manager and engineer in construction. And we built a lot of buildings in the industry. And in those industries, we had blueprints, we had designs, we had things that we use in order to construct whatever that building or whatever that shell was. And we knew that sometimes we use support structures or temporary enclosures in order to put in place, like for windows, if you didn't have your windows or if you didn't have doors, you put in temporary enclosures or temporary things or lintels put in place to hold the weight of the building. And we did that in order to keep everything in place so that we can continue building the structure. But we also know that at one time or another that those materials would come in and we would put the final product in place and then we would continue building out the project. As an engineer, I had to understand the design, construction, and purpose for the structure that I was building in order to make sure that it fulfilled its purpose and usefulness once completed. Likewise, my friends, we need to understand and appreciate how God has made and created each one of us according to his will in every aspect of our lives. We have been built in a way that enables us to shoulder the burdens of life by ourselves, and in some cases, we are built in order to shoulder the burdens of our fellow brothers and sisters as we live our lives together. What is interesting is what Paul says next. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Basically, Paul says that it is our desire to be clothed, and if given the choice, we would rather be clothed with our heavenly garments in our heavenly body rather than to be found naked. Our spirits will be found with the body, and we will be found wanting for nothing. We will be whole and complete in Christ. However, in our earthly tents, we groan because we feel the weights down. We're weighed down in our dying bodies with afflictions. Though we may want to die, we know that we can't, but we look forward to when we are complete in Christ and when we will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want you for a moment to focus on the word groan and longing. The word groan means to make a deep and articulate sound, conveying pain. Groaning can also be defined as a low creaking sound when pressure of weight is applied. In other words, it's our response. Many times when we have deep concerns or stress that's being applied to our lives. What type of stress? Well, we can look to the Bible for that. In chapter 4, it gives us insight into these stresses of life. The reason why I want to look at chapter 4 is because it's a precursor to what happens in chapter 5. We know this because chapter 5 starts with the word for. And so I want to read from chapter 4, verses 8 through 12 and 17 and 18 in order to start to unpack what burdens are and what the stresses of life are. It states, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We also carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death in for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. But as we go into chapter 5, we see this. It says, therefore, we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built from heavens, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing for it to be clothed instead with our heavenly bodies. For we all experience pain and suffering as well as see it all around us. If you look at the third world countries, you see the persecuted church and the pain and suffering that Christians are going through, even at the loss of life. One of my favorite sweatshirts has a red cross on it, and under it, it reads, this message is illegal in 51 countries. There are 40 classified as restricted nations, and the other 11, hostile area. But what makes this shirt so great is what it says on the back that is outlined in the cross, and it says from Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God, the salvation of everyone who believes. It speaks volumes to those of us who are professing our faith loud and clear so that the world can hear, knowing that persecution, pain, and suffering will follow us. So we continue groaning, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. If you look at our own country, you will see pain and suffering in everyday lives. We are dealing with a pandemic that has taken 220,000 plus lives as of this morning, and over a million that have been infected and counting. The circle is getting smaller regarding the people that we know that are around us that are being affected by COVID-19 and who are dying or being sick. Whether you believe it or not, it is real, and we are seeing the pain and suffering from those who are left behind, those who are not able to see their loved ones take their last breath in hospitals. We're seeing it from the fact of people that are still dying here on this earth that has nothing to do with COVID. So we see pain and suffering in our lives. And all that we're left with is memories and the questions of why. Many of us have or know someone that is in isolation because of COVID, and as a result are dealing with depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues. As well, many marriages are having problems, and that is bubbling up to the surface, and because of people being in close proximity to one another. You can't hide or run away from those things that you have left in the past. Now that you're present inside a house, 24/7, seeing your family members, you cannot hide from that anymore. And so as a result, marriages and families are being shattered in this time of COVID. So we continue to groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. In this political climate, we see pain and suffering due to many social media comments and responses to them. You see statements and comments that are insensitive, disrespectful, lacking in grace, lacking in love, lacking in sensitivity, causing pain, hurt, trauma, and despair. Surprisingly, it is not just for those who are unsaved. It is also from those who are Christians, who allow their global and social worldview to proceed and take over their biblical worldview. These folks put their own needs and ideology before God. Relationships are being destroyed each and every day. And for what? Our own egos, lack of discernment, or lack of discretion? So we continue groaning, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings. We see people who are without jobs and places to live, people who cannot provide for their families nor take care of themselves. Some of you, under the sound of my voice, are even experiencing that, and there is no stimulus agreement in sight. We see the pain and suffering and the social and racial unrest that litters our cities across the landscapes of our nation. A racial unrest that runs deep in our country's history, with minority groups that experience pain and trauma and suffering at the hands of others. And it did not start with the African American or slavery. It includes Native Americans, Mexicans, Japanese, Chinese, and other black and brown people. It is pain and suffering that is manifested and bubbles over into demonstrations that are both peaceful and some that are riots. And we see that and witness that today. But this is not new in this country. America was shaped and formed from the beginning through protest, rioting, and bloodshed. I'm not condoning any of the violence. I just wanted to be pointed out that pain and suffering of the people of this great nation that have also sacrificed a lot and that are part of this unfortunate history that is still present today. Yes, still present today. So we continue longing for the point of when we can be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings. In this moment, KCC, as a multi-ethnic church, we have to not only seek to, one, deal with the pain and suffering of those who are persecuted in third world countries, or two, minister to those who are suffering, experiencing loss, isolation, and brokenness in this time of COVID, or three, holding people accountable to be more Christ-like in their engagement with others, especially on social media. We also have to, four, respond with compassion, empathy, and love to those of us who are experiencing a great deal of pain, fear, and anxiety and hurt during this pandemic of racism, social injustice, and inequality that is still happening across this country. So we continue groaning, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings. When we speak of longing, we mean to live or desire something with the implications of recognizing the lack or a need. This reminds me of one of my favorite war stories, which is Band of Brothers. I don't know how many of you have seen this. Band of Brothers is I love war movies. Let me just say that for I love war movies and westerns. And I love war movies because war movies are about the battle. And for me, I look at the spiritual aspect of that, the warriors, the soldiers that are in there fighting for this country, fighting for what they believe. And in this series, it is about the Easy Company, which is the Parachute Infantry Regiment 101, Airborne Division in World War II. And so how this whole scene unfolds is this. You have gentlemen that are in, and soldiers that are in Bastogne, Belgium, and they're surrounded by the German forces. It is in the middle of winter, and they have not a lot of equipment, low on ammunition, low on food, and not really clothes for the winter. And so they're sitting there entrenched in their foxholes, and the enemy is all around them. And day and night, the enemy is sending over cannons and ammunition, and it's just bombing them. And the only thing that they can do is sit in the middle of the foxhole waiting for the barrage of artillery to end. And I look at that and I think about how we live our lives today. We are in spiritual warfare today. We are in a war now. And it's something that we are being hit with every single day, pain and suffering. And just like those soldiers on that battlefield that are wandering around, shell-shocked, hiding, holding on for their lives, fearing for their lives, we sometimes walk in that also. And so as we go through the movie, what we find out is that they endured a couple of things. They endured hunger, pain, death, injury, trauma, lack of sleep, fear, and doubt. But what they longed for, ultimate, outside of victory, what they longed for ultimately was to go home. They longed for the end of the war to return back to their loved ones, a place where they can feel safe, a place where they did not feel exposed or vulnerable, a place away from all the pain and suffering that they were experiencing in war. And like I said, we are in wartime too. For the Bible tells us we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. Well, according to Paul, along with groaning, we have a longing for us to be in our heavenly dwelling so that we will not be found naked. That is, not wanting anything or needing anything, but we're feeling covered and protected. Sometimes when we are naked, we feel ashamed because everything is out and exposed before everyone in the world. But verse 5 says this, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." You may ask, what is to come? Well, 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4 says it this way, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Heaven is the place that's been promised to us. Heaven is the place that we will go to after we leave our earthly tent. Heaven is the place that we look to find security and peace. That is to come for the believer. Although we experiencing and see pain and suffering here all around us on this earth, we long to be with our Master, our Heavenly Father. But I tell you, don't fret. I stand to tell you, all is not lost. Can I hear amen? Can I hear you say, all is not lost? Can I see somebody on that online campus type in, all is not lost? I want to share with you three things about heaven as I come to a close. First, heaven is real. Heaven is real. It is not something that is made up. It is real. How do I know that? Because Jesus said in John 14, 1 to 3, he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, would I have told you that I was going to go there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Don't believe all the things that people tell you that heaven is not real. It is real. Because if there's a heaven, there's a hell. Don't believe people when they tell you, live for today and forget about God. Know that because you're a believer, and even though you're going through pain and suffering here on this earth, you will be rewarded in heaven. Because it is a place. Because when this earthly tent is destroyed, we will go to that heavenly dwelling that God has built with his own hands. I want to tell you too, our true citizenship is not here on earth, and we will be transformed. Our true citizenship is not here on earth, and we will be transformed. In Philippians 3, 20 through 21, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await at the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body." We have citizenship, but our citizenship is in heaven. And that's important to know, because in knowing that our citizenship is in heaven, we know how we should govern our lives. We know that we should not succumb to the things of this earth and the things of this world and the worldview of global worldview and stop thinking about biblical worldview. We know that we are governed by the principles of heaven. We know that we should engage people based upon what God has given us. We should engage people in a way that's loving, compassionate, grace-filled, mercy-filled, forgiving. All those things that we should do, we should experience that here on earth. Because we're in citizenship in heaven. And one of the great things about it, and I just, you know, you got to talk about the great things, but you also got to say something about the bad things. It says also in our verses that we read today, I think it's in verse 10, it says that we shall be judged for those things that we do good and bad. Because we have citizenship, not here on this earth, but in heaven. So we are to be held accountable and hold one accountable as well. Point three, there will be no more pain and suffering in heaven. Can I get an amen? No more pain or suffering, because we're going to be in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is something that we can look forward to. We can live our lives, our highs and lows, our pains and sufferings, our joys and all that. But when it all comes down to it, at the very end, when we are not in this mortal body anymore and we shed this mortal shell, we shall be lifted up in heaven to meet our God, our Savior, and be rejoicing in heaven, because there will be no more pain or suffering. Can I get an amen? So I want you to be assured of this, as the songwriter said, Reverend Timothy Wright said in a song, I am so glad trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night. Keep the faith, it will be all right. Weeping may endure for a night. Keep the faith, it will be all right. Why? Because trouble don't last always. So although we experience persecution, pain, and suffering, and even rejection here on this earth as believers, we know that although our earthly bodies will be destroyed, God has a place for us in heaven. Therefore, we know that the certainty of the future enables us to be courageous in the present in face of conflict and pain. So let me take a little liberty as I close with Paul in 2 Peter 1, verses 13 and 14. I think it is right for me to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of this body, because I know that we all someday will put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to each and every one of us as believers. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, which dwells in each one of us, Lord, comes to comfort us, Lord, during these times of trouble, during these times of pain, misfortune, during these times of difficulty, Lord. And show us the present hope that is before us, Lord, that we shall be with you one day. And although we are here left on this earth to deal with this day in and day out, we rejoice knowing what our end destination will be, which we will be reunited with our loved ones, those who have gone before us, and those, Lord, who have kept the faith as we are. So, Lord, I pray that these words find fertile ground, that we be encouraged that we remain steadfast, unmovable, unshakable from the faith, and that we will continue as soldiers in this army to fight for Christ, to fight for one another, and to win this war that you have won by yourself through your death, burial, and resurrection. So, Lord, we praise you, we lift you up, and we magnify your holy name. And we ask these and all blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.